And again, as a pastor, I want to say thank you for being here with us today. It's a joy to get to spend the Lord's Day, gather around His Word, and I trust that you just, all of us, take it all in and realize what a gift God has given us just to gather together. And I talked to people this week that will not have, we talk to people on a regular basis, I should say, that will not have a chance to gather together because of health limitations and whatever other restrictions and things. So it's just a joy to get to be gathered together, and I challenge you to soak it all in and then see some people after the service we dismiss. Give some people good greetings and wishes well and prayers together, and what a joy. Well, we're looking at Psalm 73, as you knew already. We're looking again at the last few verses of this psalm, and trust it's a blessing. As you find your place in Psalm 73, I did hear this story about this young guy. This boy worked in a produce section at a little local grocery store. And this lady came in and she asked for a half a head of lettuce. And he thought, well, that's a strange request. We only sell them by the heads. But he said, I'll go back and check with my manager. He did not know that she was following right behind him as he went back through the doors to talk to the manager. And he, not knowing that she was back there, he said to his manager, listen, I got this crazy lady that wants a half a head of lettuce. And about that time, he turns and sees her out of his peripheral vision. And he said, and then this nice lady wants the other half. So they cut a piece in half, wrapped it up, and gave it to her. And the manager said, wow, you're quick. He said, well, you're fast on your feet. I like that. And he said, where are you from? He said, well, I moved down from Canada. He said, I live in whatever province up there. He said, oh, really? And he said, well, what'd you come down here for? He said, well, I came for a wife. He said, really? He said, yeah, my province, there's not many choices up there. He says, all we got up there is ugly women and hockey players. He said, what province you say you came from? And he named it again. He said, that's where my wife's from. And he answered back. He said, oh, what team does she play for? So once again, he showed he was a quick-witted guy. So in Psalm 73, we're looking at verse 26. And I'll tell you what my title is. I want to preach about this, my portion. And you'll see that phrase in verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. I want to bring this third message about this psalm. And I love that wording in verse number 26, my portion. And I trust that before we leave today, you would be able to walk out these doors saying that God is my portion. Father, be with us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. My cousin would eat a lot. He was skinny as a rail, but ate like a horse. So he ate more than everybody else, but he was skinnier than everybody else. And he made my aunts mad because he could eat so much and still not gain weight. But he would love spaghetti, and he would take that biggest plate he could get and put as much spaghetti on there as he could, and then just pour that sauce on there, Parmesan cheese. And he would eat that like he was guarding the last meal. He'd have his arms around there, and he'd just be shoveling it in. He did cereal about the same way. He would take whatever cereal was there, and he would hold it like this, as big a bowl as he'd get, and hold that cereal like that and have somebody pour the milk in between his hands so that it didn't overflow when they poured the milk. And then he let it set there for a little while, and then he'd just scoop it until it got down level with the bowl. His portions were extremely large. He was a big guy, got a big portion. But the God said, word says here that God is my portion. And I'll get into it just a little bit, but I love the personal aspect of that. He's just not a portion. He's not there for other people. He's not there for everybody. He's my portion. And I want you to see if you find yourself at the beginning of verse number 26, because if you don't, I've met, I don't know how many people this month, this week, that do. They're living in verse number 26, the first part of it. My flesh and my heart faileth. We've all got our problems. We've all got our difficulties. And we are living, if we're not careful, in such a sin-cursed world that our flesh and our strength and everything that we can have, our heart faileth. Have you ever had your sitting there on the couch and you're doing something, your family watching TV, or you're about half fall asleep, but your leg falls asleep? I don't know why we choose that as the phrase to say that, but you know what it does? It feels like after you get up, feels like needles are poking all over your foot, goes to sleep. You ever been laying there and then for some reason somebody hollers for you, you jump up and you go and you about stumble into the living room floor because that old leg, it doesn't have as much strength as you thought it would. You were counting on it and it didn't provide. You were depending on it, but it didn't perform. It was lame for just a little while. Well, that's what the scripture says here about my heart. My heart was failing, my flesh, all that I could muster up. It was, like the Bible says in another passage, like a foot out of joint. It was not dependable. And so we see here in verse number 26, I want to contrast these two. I see my inability, yet he is my portion. And oh my, what a contrast do we have when we're looking at my strength and we're comparing that with God's strength. We're looking at what I can do. Instead, we're looking at what he can do. And I see my inability that's very, very real, and as is yours, yet he is our portion. I find out this about me. I'm overwhelmed in life when I can't lean on my own ability, when I find that I'm trying to do things on my own. I'm wanting to make it happen, but I'm living in the beginning of verse number 26 where my heart, it faileth. My ability is not where I wanted it to be. I don't have it within me. The Bible says it's not within man to guide his own steps, and I see my inability. I'm running out of juice. Meaning back at home, my mamaw would say he doesn't have enough oomph. I don't know if that's in the original language somewhere or not, but you know, oomph. Man, you don't have enough oomph. And that's the way a lot of us are trying to live our lives. We're run out of juice. I read a story in Fremont, California. A police officer was chasing some felony. I don't know what he'd done, but some felon. And the guy was getting on, and the police officer was keeping up with him. But then he finally had to give, as he was reporting back and forth to dispatch, he finally gave the last transmission. He said, "I'm down to 6 miles of battery on this Tesla. So I think I may lose him here in a second." And lose him he did. His car came to a stop and the guy didn't. The felon went on. Apparently the car hadn't been charged the night before after that shift, and somebody was in trouble because they didn't plug it in. Well, if you're going to use a Tesla as your police officer car, you better make sure you got a full charge on that thing. But we're about as useless as that car was after the battery went dead, because sometimes our batteries need recharged as well. And I'm looking at the inability that I have in my life, and I see when my battery gets low, but I'm thinking that I serve a God whose battery doesn't need charge. He never goes on the need for having more poured into him. I'm like Habakkuk in verse number 12 of 1. He says, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One?" He said, "Lord, you're the one that was from there, and you're all the way over to there." And I realize in my inability, yet God is my portion. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He's never down for maintenance. He's never out for lunch. He has no need for a backup generator. He's God all the time. And I just see the wonderful contrast here in verse number 26. But then I not only see that, but look in verse 27, if you will. We see the contrast here, their prosperity, which that's the whole psalm. You remember that the psalmist is upset because the wicked are prospering. But we see the contrast here in verse 27. He says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish." Their prosperity was shown in the first part of the psalm, yet their destruction awaits. In a book some years ago, William Cook described a powerful meeting in 1923. This book is called Success, Motivation and the Scriptures. Cook describes this meeting in 1923, had some of the most powerful men at this Chicago meeting, and they gathered together to just relish in their combined success. Charles Schwab, not the financial investor, but he was the president of the largest independent steel company in the day. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Albert Fall had been a former member of the president's cabinet. Jesse Livermore was one of the greatest bears on Wall Street, just a powerful figure. Leon Frazier was the president of the Bank of International Settlements. And Ivan Kruger had the biggest monopoly in business in that day. These men, they represented much of the money of the whole United States of America. And they were powerful figures. In this book, it chronicles how each of those men met a hard demise. Schwab, who was the president of the largest steel company, he lived on borrowed money for the last 5 years of his life, and he died penniless, so reports say. Richard Whitney, who had been the president of the New York Stock Exchange, he was served time after that point, in Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, who had been a member of the president's cabinet, he was pardoned from prison only so that he could die at home and be a slightly more respectable than dying in prison. Jesse Livermore committed suicide. Leon Frazier, as did Ivan Kruger, all committed suicide and left this world. I'm looking at the end, and I don't know about the spiritual status of any of those men, and I'm certainly not saying that just because people get wealthy, they're wrong, because I believe that there's many great businessmen, and you can look back and the practices they put in are the direct results, or the what are responsible for their successes is that they've honored God in their finances. So that's not it. But it may be that God takes your business and blows it up to a multi-million or larger organization, or it may be that you have not much money to go on. Either one, you should honor God in whatever He sees fit to put past your way. But my point in giving this illustration is that just because somebody is prospering doesn't mean they're doing well. I told you last week, what shall profit a man, the Bible says, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Instead, we should start following Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth. And I see their prosperity is listed in this psalm, yet it's contrasted with destruction awaits if they're not giving God His rightful spot. I want you to look at verse number 28 as we spend just a few moments here. And I want you to look at my job and your job currently. And that is to declare His works. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. We've seen my inability. We've seen yours. Now, I want you to look at your job. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can sign on. I've already got too many jobs. You can do this job while you're doing all the other jobs that you have. And that is to declare His works. I was walking the other night after things got quiet at the house. I was taking a walk down there, and I looked out. It was a beautiful canopy of stars. Dark sky, of course, behind them, and those stars were just shining out so brightly. I thought, Lord, those stars are doing their job. I went to bed that night, got up the next morning. You get on our back deck, and you watch the sunrise up out there, and that sun come up, and it's so beautiful. I thought, Lord, that sun is doing its job. Not warming all of us. I understand that part. But I said, that sun is doing its job. Went on through more of that day. And I don't remember which day it was. But just beautiful blue skies. And those clouds were up there. Just so as if you could reach out and touch them. And so much so that, oh boy, they're just beautiful. I thought, Lord, those clouds are doing their job. And so now the only part in that equation that might not have done its job was John. Those stars, they were just shining so brightly. And surely somebody else in Gray, Tennessee was looking up at those same stars and saying, wow, I don't think somebody at my level created those. And surely somebody else was sitting on their back deck the other morning and saw that sunrise come up, and they said, I don't believe our plant manufactured anything like that. I don't believe any of our engineers could have come up with something like that. I don't think we could have set that up in the sky. And then surely somebody was walking around looking at those clouds, reach out like a big old giant cotton balls up there. Surely somebody else was saying, wow, I don't believe anybody I've been hanging around with is responsible for those beautiful things up there. So nature was doing its job. And I want to ask you this question. Am I doing my job? Are you doing your job? We've got a job on this earth. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're saved. You've got a job. And that job is to make Jesus look good. You say, Pastor, how could I make Jesus look good? You could let him live through you. You say, well, I can't make Jesus look good. He's God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's all this. And he is. But they won't see him unless they see him through you. And so my job is to declare his glory. We started off as the psalmist, and he was so upset with the wicked getting great things and he not. So he went into the sanctuary and he started seeing what their end was. Destruction awaited them. And then after he figured that out, then he said, I better get back to my job. And then in this last verse, we realize that he got back to his job, and that job is to point people to the Savior. I know that sometimes it's crude. I know that sometimes you might think, hey, I wish that it was a little bit neater. But I love every time I go underneath an underpass and somebody has gotten an old paintbrush and they've written, I saw it not too long ago, trust Jesus. You say, well, shouldn't it have been neater writing? Maybe. But I love the message. Stephanie, who takes care of so many things here in our office, she got our mailing machine that puts the postage on there, and she worked it out that we can put Jesus Saves on there if we want to. And a lot of my cards, I send them out to people, and that way I figure some mailman, you know, they need the Lord. I know. There's one right up here. I figure somebody's going to see that message, Jesus Saves. And I think about my job. My job is to point people to Christ, that I may declare, the Bible says, all thy works. Let me just give you three things to take home. And it's right from this verse 28, right really literally in the verse. I want you to see the marching orders that you and I have as we walk out these doors. Number one, draw near to God. It says in verse 28, but it's good for me to draw near to God. They all begin with a D, draw near. So, are you drawing near to him? Did you spend time this week just getting alone? And I don't know, you read it here in black and white, or you read it on your tablet. So, read it somewhere along, you get it in you somehow. Am I drawing near to him? Did I pull back away from everybody else and just spend time with him? But it's good for me, the Bible says, to draw near to God. This is a good thing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a good thing for us to go to the church house, but it's even a greater thing when you go let God draw near to you and you draw near to him. So first of all, we ought to draw near. But then not only should we draw near, but look on the verse, we ought to depend on him. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Are you depending on him? I told our Sunday school class just a little bit ago, sometimes when we look at prayer, we look at seeking the Lord, we do that as our last resort instead of our first response. And we ought to be those people who just whatever's coming our way, we just continually depend on him, trust in him, rely on him. My friend, it's so many times that you are battling the things that you don't have to battle. You are facing things that you don't have to face alone. And God says, I have put my trust in him. And then the third one is simple. It says that I may declare all thy works. Draw, depend, declare. You got to draw near to him or else you don't have anything to declare. You got to depend on him or you won't make it through the difficulties to get a chance to declare. But then after you draw and depend on him, after you've got that victory, you might as well declare his works and say, praise the Lord. He said, Pastor, I can't. At my work, they don't let me do those things. Everybody that's preaching doesn't have a Bible, you know. You may not be able to get a stool and stand up and say, hey, I want to read you some verses. But they can't quit. They can't make you quit living a godly life out there where you're at work. They can't stop that testimony. They certainly can't stop you praying for them. You can go to God on their behalf at night and wherever you want to. But you can declare His goodness. I will declare thy goodness to all generations. So my job currently, right now, I've already seen my inability and I've seen their prosperity, but their ultimate demise. But then what am I supposed to do in August of 2023? I'm supposed to declare His works. So I take you back to where I started in verse number 26, and I love that phrase, He's my portion. Is He your portion today? First of all, do you know for sure that you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? Is He your portion as your Savior? Do you know that you're believing on Him for your only hope of heaven? Is He your portion? Is He your Savior and salvation? Is He your portion in your thought life? Are you dwelling and meditating on Him? Are you thinking, God, you've got this? We can because you can. I've told you the whimsical story before, but it fits so well here. That elephant and had a rooster on his back, and they went across one of those big old swinging bridges, and that thing just swayed with the weight of that elephant. And on the other side, that rooster looked at that big elephant. And he said, did you feel that thing shake as we came across? Well, the rooster did very little. And if it shook, it was because of the weight of the elephant. And when God, you team up, you make a powerful majority. You're about as useful as that rooster, but boy, does God swing a lot of weight. And I have the opportunity to dwell on Him in my thoughts, in my heart, and say, Lord, You are the one that can get me through this. You say, oh, you're just making sure you have positive thoughts. I'm not talking about that. Because when you start thinking and dwelling on those things, here's what happens. You start trusting the Lord and faith. The Bible says without that faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when you start dwelling on Him and you start reminding yourself of how good He is and you start reminding yourself of how powerful He is and you start looking at the things that He's already brought you through and then you start looking at the things you've got to go through now and you realize if He brought you through those, He's going to bring you through these. And then you start saying, Lord, would You help me? And then that prayer is not just a whimsical thing that you threw up in the air and hope it sticks somewhere. Instead, that's a prayer born out of faith. You say, Lord, You did it before. Now You can do it again. But the way you get that confidence, the way that you get that belief, the way that faith is built is through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as I remind myself of what He's done in that book, then I encourage myself that He's able to go forward and help me in what's going in the future. I declare His works. He's my portion forever. You all have heard the phrase before. If I died right now, I'd die a happy man. We've all heard that phrase, yeah. I don't want to die. I'd rather go up when Jesus comes back. Well, we've also heard that saying much like that. If all we had is Jesus, then He's more than enough. And my friend, I can't guarantee you that your status will stay the same financially. Economically, who knows? I can't promise you that things will always go great, but I can promise you this. Jesus said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And so if Jesus is all that you have, He's more than enough because He is my portion. I want to leave you with this in the last moments that I have. I love that phrase, my portion, because portion means the very essence of it. It's just a variable amount that gets put forth. But the word before it reminds us that God customizes it to whatever you and I need. I'd go a step further. Not only does he customize it to you, but I believe he customizes it to the specific situation that you're in right now. Not only is it particular to you, it's also particular to what you're going through now. He's my portion. I tell people all the time when they come in and they're dropping something off from Amazon, there's always somebody coming and going, dropping something off. Oh, this is my church. Oh, I don't mean that I own it. I don't mean that that it's mine, that I possess it. I mean, this is where I belong. When I talk people out and about and I say, oh, I would like to invite you and give them a gospel tract. Oh, this is my church. This is where I go. I don't say that again because I'm paying the bills. Thank the Lord. I only chunk in just a little bit. All of us work out. I'm not saying that because I own it. I'm saying that's where I belong. It's mine. It's yours. I love that personal touch. Mine. And that's what God says about him. He's my portion. If you've been fretting and worrying and fussing about all the things that are going on, can I challenge you that maybe you haven't been dwelling where you need to dwell? Maybe you haven't been drawing near like you need to draw near. Maybe you haven't been depending on him like you need to. Because when you do those, then you'll start declaring his works. Father, I pray that you bless us now. Lord, I pray if there's one or several that are in this room that need to be saved, Lord, they need to have you as their portion in salvation. Lord, I pray that you would bring them to us, not to us, Lord, to yourself. I pray if there's somebody that needs to be saved, that they would be. Lord, I pray if there's somebody that's saved, but they've been fretting about so many things in their life. They've been worried and wondering, and Lord, they need you. I pray that today you've strengthened and emboldened their heart. And they would realize once again that you are their portion. Oh, dear Father, please, I pray. And I pray if there's somebody needs to be saved, they would. I pray if there's somebody needs to just rely on you, that they would. Lord, I pray that you do a work in everyone's heart in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And as they play and God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel, stand down here in front of the pulpit. If you need someone to take a Bible and show you how to be sure that heaven's your home, he'd be glad to do that. If you're a lady, he'd have a lady deal with you and show you that. Maybe you need to come pray all by yourself. Just give some things over to the Lord. That's what this altar's for. Would you come? They're going to play through a few verses. And I just talked to an awful lot of people to know that, folks, we've got so much on us right now. We need a touch from the Lord. And my friend, he is your portion. Would you come as they continue to play? I make one more plea. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, this church can't save you and I can't, but Jesus wants to save everybody. If you'd only put your trust and belief in him as your personal Savior. I'm going to have him play one more verse. If this is your verse, then you do business with the Lord. Thank you so much. You may look this way, and I'm going to have you be seated just for a little bit. And if we're blessed to have Brother David and Brooke Martin, they have come with their little one, Holland Brooks Martin, and their desire is to raise him up in a Christian home, serve the Lord. And David was on a bus this morning, so he's trying to do a good example as well. But it's always a joy to have folks when they say these children are a gift from God. They're not ours. They're His. He gives them, and then we want Him to use them. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to slip down this way and have you help me. You, as we pray, dedicate in prayer. I'll let Brooke, you keep hold of him. But you pray with me, would you, folks? Lord, we pray now for little Holland Brooks Martin. Lord, that you'd put your richest blessings, not only on the little one, but on this home. Lord, as they strive to raise him for you, I pray that you'd give him grace. Pray that you give him strength. Pray that you give him determination. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this home. May your goodness and your grace shine upon it. And Lord, as they dedicate this little one, then we dedicate them to you to be used of you for your service. Lord, we're thankful for you, thankful for your goodness to us. Bless this family, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Look at that trooper. Oh, you folks have crying babies. See, Brooke's got it all worked out here. So God bless you. Would you stand together with me? And what a wonderful joy to see a family. And many of you can come by and just say thank you to them for realizing where our blessings come. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Thank God for it. Thank you again for being in church this morning. And I want to slip back to the back there. And if you need anything that we can help you with, please don't hesitate to ask. But get by and thank the Lord for the Martins. And we praise the Lord for this little one as well. But God bless you. You're dismissed.